as we stand a short prayer. Our loving God, we pray that Jesus, who spoke these parables years ago in Galilee, would speak them afresh to us today by his Spirit as we think about them together. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And good morning, everybody. We have before us three parables of Jesus. You may find it a help to keep page 980 in front of you. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl and the net. These are short stories with great depth of meaning. So I'm pleased that on this quieter Sunday morning, we have time to think about them together. The parables teach us about the value of Jesus' kingdom. Now, as you know, the kingdom of heaven is not just in the future. It consists of men and women living under the rule and care of Jesus now and forever. And these parables show the value of being in that kingdom, the value of following Christ. When Jesus was on earth, crowds flocked to him at times, but the number of committed followers was relatively few. Maybe a dozen, the disciples, and a few more dozen as well. And seeing those small numbers, people must have wondered, is following Jesus actually worth it? After all, there were the challenging demands of his teaching, the opposition from the religious authorities, and the fact that relatively few people followed him. You would be going against the flow of your neighbours and friends. Well, still today, for all these reasons, we may ask, is following Christ actually worth it? And that's what he answers with these three short, thought-provoking parables. Now, the first two, the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, belong together. And the first thing they teach us is that following Jesus is costly. So in a way, we're right to ask if it's worth it, because following him is very costly, as these parables show us. Let me read the first one again in verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Perhaps you can imagine the scene. A man is ploughing in a field, and suddenly there's a clang. The plough jerks to a halt. It seems to have hit something. So to start with, he scrapes with his foot, and yes, there seems to be something metallic down there. He drops to his knees, he starts digging with his hands, and there it is, the most magnificent treasure you've ever seen. Well, the man thinks to himself, and then he covers it back over with earth. And did you notice in Jesus' story, he sold everything he had. He went home and he sold the lot. His books, his clothes, his television, his car, even the house. And he took the money and he bought the field, and the treasure was his. It's the parable of the hidden treasure. Now, the point of this story is not about the ethics of what the man did. No, the point is that just like that treasure, following Jesus is very costly. In fact, in a sense, it costs us everything. Now, to help us understand what this means, one writer has written somewhat lightheartedly, imagining Jesus speaking to a man who was considering following him. Now, this man loved his car, and so Jesus said to him, "You know, if you follow me, you'll have to give me your car." And the man said, "What? You mean I'll have to drive the smaller car?" Jesus replied, "No, you'll have to give me that as well." And the man said, "You mean I'll have to use my bike?" Christ replied, "Your bike will be mine as well. And also your job." And the man said, "What? I'll have to live off my investments?" "Investments?" Jesus replied. "No, they will be mine too. And you must give me your house." "I'll have to live in the caravan," the man said. Christ said, "No, your caravan will be mine too. In fact, all your possessions, your time, your relationships, your reputation, if you would follow me," he said, "you must give them all to me. And then I will return them to you to look after them. But never forget, they are mine, and you must use them as I would," said Christ. Well, elsewhere in the scriptures, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's another way of saying we must give our whole lives to him. Now, I think this teaching of Jesus is hugely surprising, but it makes perfect sense. God made us and sustains us. God gives us everything we have. Of course, we must offer everything back to him to use as he pleases. And we find it is the best way to live. How interesting to see Jesus' own teaching on what following him means. It's not just agreeing with the truths of the creed. It's not just giving him a few hours on a Sunday. No, he says it means giving all we have to him to use as he would like. Now, it's so easy to drift from that, to live as if our time, our resources, our lives were our own. And so Jesus calls us again today through his word to give our whole lives to him. That's the mark of the Christian. Not that we get everything perfect, but that we keep coming back to Christ and saying, "Lord, my whole life is yours. Help me use it for you." Can you say that to Jesus today? The parable of the treasure and the pearl. The first thing they show us is that following Jesus is very costly. In this sense, it costs us everything. But there is a second thing the two parables teach us as well. And that is that following Jesus is worth every penny. It may be costly, but it's worth every penny. Let me read the second parable again, verse 45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Can you imagine this expert connoisseur as he searches for fine pearls in the warehouses and trading floors of the world? Over his career, he's seen all kinds of pearls: freshwater pearls, seawater pearls, black pearls, rare orange pearls. He knows pearls from Bahrain, pearls from China. But one day, through his magnifying lens, he sees a pearl that takes his breath away. It's so large, the shape is perfect, the colour and the lustre of it. And he thinks to himself, "This is the pearl I've been looking for." He looks at the price, it is very high. But the merchant knows what he has to do. He does the only sensible thing. He liquidates all of his assets and investments, and he buys that pearl of great price. Now, the parable of the pearl teaches us that, like that pearl, finding Jesus and entering his kingdom is so valuable that it is worth the cost. It was the same with the man who found the treasure in the field. He sold everything with joy because he knew the treasure was worth it. Following Jesus is worth every penny. Just think of the benefits that we have with Christ. The pardon of God, full forgiveness. Peace with God, knowing we can draw near to him at any time. The very presence of God with us by the Holy Spirit to help and to guide. Purpose in life, at every stage of life, to live for him. And God's power to help us obey him. We belong to God's people, his family here on earth. And we have a place prepared for us in paradise, to live with the Lord forever. If we're trusting Christ and living for him, we have a treasure that is worth more than anything else. So let's think about that. Let's dwell on those benefits that we have in Jesus and treasure them in our hearts, so that more and more we feel deep down that in Jesus we have found the pearl of great price. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, they warn us that following Jesus is costly, but more than that, they thrill us that following him is worth every penny. Well, before we finish, we must turn to the third parable, the parable of the net. We've seen the cost of following Christ. This parable teaches us that not following Christ is also costly. Let me read it again from verse 47. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. It's an everyday scene. But Christ continues in verse 49. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there is no doubt that to read this parable, or even to hear it, is very distressing. But we dare not put a gag on Jesus. We dare not edit his teaching and miss out the bits that we find so hard. He is, after all, the most loving man ever to live. And he gives loving warnings of the judgment to come so that we can be ready. This Advent time is traditionally the time when we look forward to the second advent or second coming of Jesus. And in this parable, Jesus teaches us that at the end of the age, the wicked and the righteous will be separated. People live in this world, in God's world, in a way that says to God in word and deed, I don't want you in my life, God. And on Judgment Day, God, with sorrow, will grant that request. But eternity without God and without his good gifts is worse than we can imagine. Jesus' image of fire speaks of destruction, and the image of weeping and gnashing of teeth speaks of deep sadness and frustration. So how can we be ready for that day of judgment? As a sinner who disobeys God again and again, I deserve his judgment. But the good news of Christianity is that Christ was born into this world on that first Christmas, and he died on the cross on Good Friday to pay himself for my sins. So that if I put my trust in him who died for my sins and not in myself, I'm saved from hell for heaven. It's what we remember in our communion, that Christ gave his life so that through faith in him, we may be among the righteous in glory and not among the wicked in judgment. Well, on the Titanic ocean liner, the passengers were classified according to the cabin that they had booked. So some were in the royal suite, others in a first-class suite or a first-class cabin. Some were in a second-class berth, and still others were in steerage. All of those categories. But when the ship sunk, there were only two categories of passenger chalked up on the notice board at the White Star Line. Those known to be saved and those known to be lost. In the end, those were the only categories that mattered. And so it is with life. In this life, we're categorized according to our looks, our success, our wealth. But the parable of the net tells us that at the end of the age, there will only be two categories, those known to be saved and those known to be lost. And that is what matters. So we started with that question, is following Jesus worth it? Well, in these parables, he's clear and upfront. Following him is costly. It's not just coming to church on its own that he asks for. To follow him, we must give our all to him, to live for him. But he tells us as well that following Jesus is worth every penny. Through faith in him, we're saved from that judgment. And more than that, we receive all of those benefits he offers, the pardon of God, the peace and presence of God, purpose in life and power to live for him, people to belong to in this life, and a place with him in the next. Simple parables, but great depth to them. So let's keep praying this Christmas time and this year. Let's keep praying for those we care for who don't yet follow Christ. Let's pray that maybe this Christmas week, or in God's good timing, they would find Jesus to be the treasure, the pearl they've been looking for, and that they would joyfully follow him for themselves. Amen.